Tristan O'Shea Colwell. Emily Colwell. Forgive me if this is a little incoherent. I've just finished law school finals. For those of you who don't know, I'm also in law school along with Emily Colwell. So.
You have a very difficult professor there, though.
One.
Very, very high standard for his papers.
We'll see. we'll find out soon enough, right? I'll let you know. When I told Kalinske I'd be giving on Sabbasah and Pesukah appearance, it's a very broad topic. It's specifically on the heterim of Sabbasah in relation to Pesukah Laperos, and I hope to touch on a few issues that come up with those heterim, and if we have time for everything, great. Otherwise, you can just refer to my notes, which are pretty much passed around. I can cite footnotes if you need, but most of what I'm saying is found in these 29 pages between on the relevant material. I can email it out if you guys want. The sugya really starts in Bamitzian Daf Ayin Hamad Aleph. The Mishnah there discusses the din of Sabbasah and brings up this idea that if the Lova has Peros in this transaction in his own house, this can allow for a heter of Sabbasah. And this is codified actually in the Shulchan Aruch. Interesting lashon how the Shulchan Aruch begins this as well as the tour. The Shulchan Aruch says, Asur Luvo Sabbasah, Filo Katzav Lozman, etc. And then the next halacha, in Halakha Beis, in Kufsanat Beis, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this din of if Yeshlo, the Lova has that particular commodity going on in this transaction and allows for a Kula. One interesting diuk the Divrei Sofrim brings to support a sheet of the Ritva. The Ritva says, in Bamitzian Daf Mem Dalid, that although in general, there's not an Isser on the Lova by Avakar Elitz or Isser Durabanan, nevertheless, and he has a whole explanation, for Sabbasah, there is an Isser on the Lova. This is a very interesting Shita. And the Divrei Sofrim has a diuk for this, because if you look at the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Asa Lovo Sabbasah. It doesn't ascribe this to being to the Malve or the Lova. It's very broad, implying that it relates to both people in general, not just on the Malve like we see in other cases of Yisurei Darabana. Interesting fun fact. But when Yeshlo takes place, what happens? At this stage, it becomes not a loan where one party, the Malva, offers to lend Peros, let's use for an example, a commodity, and the Lova is going to pay back with commodities where there will be issues. When it comes down with the heter of Yeshlo, it turns out to be a trade. It loses its relevance of a halva, and when this takes place, there's no issue of Sabbasah. So what is the issue of Sabbasah? What is it? What's the problem with it? Why is it Aser? What's going on? So, Nesiva Shalom, in his Sefer, and Daf Reish Beis discusses this. And the Gemara, this is not like his own idea, really. It's really discussed in the Gemara as well. But his explanation, and he's very, it's the reason I'm pulling it out is because he's very adamant about his understanding of why Yeshlo could work. For Sabbasah, it could fix any potentially surin. He says that Danu Zosha Banan Kilu Apiros Nignu Lemalve Uvershuso Hukru. That what happens when the Lova has this particular commodity in his possession? We'll explain what the accessibility, how accessible it has to be. But whenever the Lova has this possession, it's considered like it becomes the Malva's property. It's Bershuso Hukru. And anything that would happen in this situation would be would go on the Malva. So let's say the Lova make a deal to lend Peros for that at the current time there's $5 a pound. The issue of a general Sabbasah transaction is that the price may go up, and then subsequently the Lova is going to be paying more to the Malva. But when it's Yeshlo, when there's the fact exists that the Lova has this particular commodity in his possession, whatever that means, and that it's accessible. It's kilu, like it's nikna to the Malva, and then anything that would go up and down with the price doesn't make a difference because it's the Malva's anyway. So it's not like he's giving more to the Malva. It was already his at this time. The interesting thing he adds is v'lo matzinu b'rishonim tam acher, v'hatzer havasa b'sav yeshlo. And okay, so he thinks this is the only explanation, and if you look at the footnote, he goes into this. Apparently, there's a Chalkas bin Yamin that quotes a sheet of Megubet says that has a different explanation, which is for another time. But either way, keeping that in mind, whenever you think of Yeshlo, we're going to use this for the remainder of the Chabura. Yeshlo implies that whenever the Mova has this object, it's Kilu Nikneh Lemocher of Rishuso Nisyaiker. Let's take that as is. So, there are elements to this particular heter of Yeshlo to explore. Number one, how accessible does it have to be? Number two, who needs to be aware of this? Is there the Malva and the Lova, do they need to know that it's there? Can you trust when the Lova says that it's there? And then with understanding how accessible it is, there are other details there. It's a very large issue. So concerning the idea element, knowledge of what's going on, the Rambam, there's Yukim are made in the Rambam. Rambam is not so, he doesn't really demand it that much. He ends up saying that he has two halachos at the beginning of Perek Yud. And both of those two halachos relate to different heterim of Sabasa, one of them being Getzah Shar, which we'll get to soon. Right now, Yishlo. So in Yetzah Shar, he's very, very, he commonly points out very often that needs to be Kavuv Yadua. But here, in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, referring to Yeshlo, the Rambam writes, Haile Mosa Amin, so the Lova has this particular Amin, Shalova, which is involved in this transaction, Harza Mutter Lovo Stam, Belo Kivias Man, etc., etc., etc. And he says, Uprea Stam, Alhubisha, Daim Lo Yatza Shar, Vapilo Haisa Lo Sa, Bilvad, Lova Lea Kamasan, etc., etc., etc. And then, Lo Haile Mosa Amin, Klum, Belo Nikva Shar Vashuk, Adain, Shlo Yadua Shar Vashuk, Harza Asa Lovos. Fine, but he never mentions at the beginning that you need to have a yediyah of this commodity. It doesn't need to be known that the Malva at least doesn't need to be known Pashas. The Malva doesn't need to know that the Lova has this particular commodity. And the Shulchan Aruch even paskins that if the Malva says I have it, he's Naaman right away. You don't have to question whether he has it or whether he doesn't. The Lova says that. If the Lova says that, yeah, exactly. So, and interestingly, this is how this is paskin in the end. The Taz is medayik this particular Nakuda from the Rambam. The Taz also points out that lahalacha on kuf samech beis kuf samech beis gimel. The Taz points out that it's not needed. Yediyah shneim is not needed. And he even points out, yeah, he says that even if the lova, he even points out very on that the lova doesn't even have to know. Ve'efshur shekam lova lo yada b'shas halva b'beirer. Even if the lova doesn't know, it's okay. That's the Taz. The Shach seems to agree as well that you don't need Yediyah, but the Shach points out, and the Taz agrees, that it wouldn't be needed lichatchila. So, even if it's all that jumble, what comes out is that the Rambam doesn't really indicate that both parties need to know. Presumably, we'd assume the Lova would know. The Taz is explicit that the Lova doesn't need to know. The Shach and the Taz both say that lichatchila Yediyah is needed, but it's not needed, but the evidence is not required. However, the Bach quoted in the Taz and the Bach inside himself also, obviously. The Bach also says that it is needed even b'di'evet. So that's one element of the heter of the Yeshua that we have down. Who needs to know whether it's required? Fine. That's number one. We'll get back to that soon enough. How accessible does it have to be? So first of all, since Yeshua is the Rishus of the Lovet, it has to be in the Lovet's Rishus. And assuming that he has this particular commodity in his possession, then assuming that this transaction takes place, it'd be completely fine. This is the strongest level of Yeshlo you could really have. Yeshlo could be a little more fluid than just having it fully in your possession, just not with me right now. But if he has it at home, it's totally okay. Me and Moshe Stavsky in the corner over there, we learned together, I was just wondering if you would steal produce, whether this would be considered yeshlo as well, just like a footnote. If the lova would steal produce, whether this could count for yeshlo.
Steal? What point?
Before. Say before.
He didn't have stolen goods.
Yeah, he's stolen goods. He's swindled. Yeah, he steals. So he stole it, and so does that count for yeshlo? So I was thinking perhaps it might be contingent on what the nature of a government of nigzal is, that it is b'rishuso at this point. But it's not really shalo because he has to give it back to the person you stole it. There's a chiyuv hashava. So presumably, just having it for shuso, it might be able to create the enough to make a heter of yeshlo.
With the Ainos Rivas.
With the Ainos Rivas. Okay. I mean.
He was giving the Ainos Rivas.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be the same. It'd be like the same thing. It's just, yeah. But I was thinking that if we understand like the heter of yeshlo to be kilos exactly sacred brishus, though, that it's far nimkar lemocher. So if he has a chiyav hashava to give it back to somebody else, even though it's brishuso, it's not enough of shalo that it could make this transaction to the mocher. What? Okay. I mean, you're right. I mean, this distinction between shalo brishuso would play out any time it comes up. Hektish. Well, I mean, it's kitchikub, kitchikubizdeh. Of course, this could play out in lots of different ways. But either way, just assuming that's true, if we do look at the Heter of Yeshua, like, which is how it's interpreted in the Rishonim, how it's interpreted in the bottom line, how the Nesiva Shalom, because the assumption we're working with right now, then maybe that would be an issue of that if the person has stolen goods, it might not grant this Heter of Yeshua. So it's what to think about. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's what to think about. And concerning this idea of accessibility, there's a Mordechai which is brought down in the Ramah. Where is this Ramah? Okay, I'm all here. The Ramah is discussing other types of accessibility. So the first one we have down is Rishus HaLove. Let's say it's not in the Lova's possession right now. Let's say it's somewhere else. Let's say it's in Tinek, right? And would this count for Yeshla? So the Ramah quotes this Mordechai as saying this would be considered Yeshlo if im Yeshlo makam acher. Let's say it's somewhere else, and the Malva doesn't have a way of getting there, that's not Yeshla. That prevents it from being Yeshla, because the Malva can't get there. Implication is that if the Malva could get there, then it would be able to be Yeshla. So it's interesting how the Mordechai focuses on the word Malva, and that the Ramah quotes it as being Malva. The Nesiva Shalom, and also in the Divrei Sofrim, they discuss whether it's Yeshla lo v'derech l'sham works as well. Because the lashon of the Mordechai, the way the Ramah is quoting him, is that it needs to be the accessibility, it needs to be accessible to the Malva. It doesn't focus on Lova, which is strange because Yeshlo is what the Lova has. So at first glance, the Nesiva Shalom points out that maybe Lova is the Iker is important. That even if the Lova is accessible, it's okay. But he ends up kind of retracting on that, saying that what's the nature? This is like the Nesiva Shalom Lashitasa. The nature of Yeshlo is as Kilu Nisyaikir Bershus Malva. So it seems like the Malva has much more of a stake in this. The Lova is really just a mechanism, so to speak, of getting into the Rishus of the Malva. And the Lova's possession of it is really inconsequential, because at this stage in the game, it becomes the Malva's. So he kind of retracts and says that Yesh the Malva Derech L'Sham is the most important, and if the Lova has accessibility and the Malva doesn't, it might not be able to create for this Heter of Yeshlo. And the Divrei Sof and the Ber Halacha there in his Sefer, he ends up saying that really Yesh the Lova Derech L'Sham would be able to work, but he ends up saying it's a Tzarech Iyun because the Ramah has a very limiting Lashon. The Ramah says that it's only if it's Yesh the Malva Derech L'Sham. And that's how he quotes it. The Ramah could have, fudged it a little bit, and it could have been Malva and Lova, or Shneam, whatever it is. The fact that the Ramah has a more limiting lashon, that would fit. It would fit to the way it's supposed to be seen straight up. And even if the Lova has accessibility and the Malva doesn't, it wouldn't allow for the Heter of Yeshlo. That's the second element. Okay, so that's the most extreme, the best. Really, the best that you can have for Yeshlo is when it's in the Rishus HaLove. Unclear whether if the Love has the accessible, it can reach it, and the Malva can't, whether that's enough. Okay. Let's go to the other polarized extreme of not Yeshlo. This is Achirim Chayavim Lo, Ashrai B'masa. Let's say somebody owes the Love money, or owes the Love this particular commodity. So does that work for Yeshlo? So the Beis Yosef writes that if a person has a pikadon biyad acherim, that works. It's considered biyado, it's considered the biyad of the lova. But if it's acherim chayavim lo, it's not considered yeshlo at this point. presumably, because it's just, it's like an Ashray B'masa. And even the Gemara and Daf Samach Gimel seems to really relate these two together. Ashray B'masa does not work for the Heter of Yeshlo, and the same thing as well. If a person is owed money by another, this doesn't allow for the Heter of Yeshlo. So right now we see the two extremes. Having it in the Lovus Rishus is the absolute prime, perfect, pristine way we can have Yeshlo. And then the other, the worst, is when the Lova, yeah, he has rights to it, but it's not really his. That doesn't allow for this Heter of Yeshlo. Okay, but where's the middle? There's got to be somewhere in the middle that the Rishonim and Poskim are going to talk about. We know both ends, so where's the middle? So the first middle I think we should talk about is having money. So let's say that the Lova has money. Let's assume most people have money, except for starving law school students. But most people have money. So let's say that this Lova has money. Will that allow for the Heter of Yeshlo? Fine, he doesn't have this particular commodity in the payros that are existing in the initial transaction. But if the Lova has money to go buy it, shouldn't that be able to work? Should that allow for the Heter of Yeshlo? So Rabbi Reisman quotes this Haas. I looked for it, and I really couldn't find it where he quoted it, and I even looked around.
Even within the assumption that the way the Sushalm understands the Heter?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That
I mean, I think, yeah, it doesn't seem to affect it. I mean, presumably, I guess you could make an argument both ways, possibly, but I think that even having it, I think Lataz's understanding wouldn't necessarily be against that, because how else would it work? Even the
what did that say?
Fine, I'm gonna he knows already because he saw my notes. So he had the quote in the Taz. The Taz bringing the Truma Sadesh and says that if the Lova has money, and you can use that money to go buy the merchandise, that works for Yeshlo. In fact, he says even if the person doesn't have money but has any good in particular in his possession, that's enough to elicit this Heter of Yeshlo, because you can always use it to barter, sell, get the good that's being involved in the commodity, and that's enough. So he even points out, right, Reisman just says on a practical level, I'll quote, this extraordinary leniency would effectively abolish the entire prohibition of sa-b-sa. It is rare that a person does not have a single penny with which he could buy a small amount of merchandise. It is even more unusual to find someone who doesn't even own a single article of clothing which could be sold.
He's
talking about Yeshlo. Yeshlo.
It's low yatzai shar.
Yeah, low yatzai shar.
This Taz says that the whole heter is only because you can exchange the goods for a dinner zav, he says, because that's something that's easily accessible if you use as money.
He actually doesn't even quote that as being
the
source.
Which is that the Taz is talking
no.
about? No. Taz base? Which Taz is
this,
about?
This is a true suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, right. He ends up saying that, based on that Taz, he ends up saying that he applies it all over in every case of Yeshlo, not
which
just.
Taz is he?
I mean, he misquoted it, but he's probably referring to that particular Taz.
Right, so this Taz is saying that you can't exchange metalplin. He says it's like too many steps to go from metalplin to money to...
No, I'm aware, yeah. But the way he presents it as being... I mean, I'm going with the way he presents it. Yeah, when you look at the Taz, it's not... It's probably... It seems a little... maybe it seems like a stretch, but that's how he presents it. I mean, I don't know... Kofsalik Bey's... Days? No.
Yeah.
It has already been days. But he's referring to dinner zav.
Okay.
I don't know.
He says Gabi Sov is so low behind the top of the rack.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to rely on a secondary source straight up. What? Yeah, but I mean this is not critical. This is not critical to whatever I'm saying. But based on his presentation of the Taz, let's describe the error here. The error to that. He ends up saying that the Heter of Sabasa is pretty much gone based on this Taz. He ends up saying that everyone argues on him, it can't be followed, and it's not really. Most posts can reject. He quotes the Shach, which is right here. The Shach of Kofsach Beis Hey Abul Mos Afil B'Chdei Shiachol Kachkolos Aminaser. The Shach argues with this Taz and says that having Mos does not work. But assuming that this Taz can be applied in the setting, and assuming that the way that Lee's Ryerson presents it, having Mos would be enough to create a Hatter of Yeshlo, and it would effectively extremely limit this this particular Kula. Interestingly, there's another source which effectively gets rid of the other Kula, which effectively gets rid of the another of Savasa. The Bris Yehuda elsewhere, in a different, in referring to Yatzar Shar, ends up saying it's in Yud Zayin, footnote Mem Vav. He says that that nowadays, Gamayun's my name, nowadays, because Shukol Chavetz Matzli Liknos, anything is easily bought and sold. Avabi She'enlo Shar Kavua Mamish, right? There's no exact price. Afshu de Mahani Kishar Kavua Midina Gemara. So, putting these two together, right, assuming this is correct, and this is probably correct, seems like really any commodity exchange, one for one, is pretty much not a problem. I mean, looking at how it is now, Bizman Azeh, there's a lot of kulas. It seems like you could really trade, fruit for fruit, whatever it is, and it shouldn't be any problem. Just
if you rely on the tax.
I'm saying with the Bris Yehuda.
Bris Yehuda is getting rid of Yetzer Shah.
Yeah, the Bris Yehuda I just quoted gets rid of Yetzer Shah, and this Taz gets rid of Yeishlo. So really, effectively, there's no real issue anymore of these transactions. But I don't know. I don't know why he ends up. I don't know what he means to say that the Taz could be extended that far. It seems like it's a little bit of a stretch, but yeah, I guess you can call him up. All right. Okay. Where was I? All right.
Why does the proceed to say the same thing about Tashai?
You can buy it.
You can buy it now. It's because everything's bought and sold. Everything's so accessible.
But doesn't it have to be a Shar?
Yeah. There is a Shar. Meaning the Shar Kavua is, there's a range. I guess the way he interprets it, there's a range. Meaning, there's usually set prices don't usually go so far, so high, so change so much, so dramatically. Generally, there's a good price, and that would be enough to create the Shar Kavua. He says Shar Kavua Mamish doesn't have to be so exact that it's going to be that you can fix it to the cent. If there's a range, it's probably not. What?
Just stability in general.
Yeah, stability in general. That's a better way to describe it. Yeah, exactly. If it has a stable.
In the Hatter of Yatzar Shar, there seems to be two svaras. There seems to be one svara of the fact that it's Yatzar Shar, so therefore it's accessible, and therefore it's almost like a Yeshlo. That's one part of the Hatter of Yatzar Shar. There's also another part of the Hatter of Yatzar Shar that it's not going to change. The chances not that Yatzar Shar raised, it's probably not going to change so much. So I'm saying the fact that everything's so accessible might not have that second thing. It might not have the fact that it might not change. I don't know. Maybe it will change. But you definitely have the first part. You definitely have the fact that it's Yatzar Shar. If you look at the Beis Yosef, when he first brings the Hatter of Yatzar Shar, he says these two svaras. That first of all, it probably won't change because it's Yatzar Shar. And since it's Yatzar Shar, so it's Ke'ilu Yeshlo, because I can get it tomorrow. I can get it any time. So that thing that I can get it any time, that you definitely have this one.
Okay.
But today, everything has a Shar except what next year is sweet card.
But there's set prices for those now.
First you have to find the shar. Then you have to define Yotzah Shar. There is a shar for everything. I mean, Bizmanein was not on the penny. The bodega sells the quart of milk for a dime more than the A&P. But there's a shar on the A&P and there's a shar on the bodega. That's what milk costs these days. That's never going to have more of a shar than that. And then there's the Yotzah, because we, Baruch Hashem, you want watermelon, you get today also. But usually you had to wait until it was available.
Yeah, go ahead.
But based on that story, then if you had a Yatash, if you had a Havas Abasa, where you said, you can't pay me back before next year, then maybe you wouldn't have that Kula. And would you be able to? Would you?
That's another issue. It's the four Machlokas we showed now.
Right, so unless you can't make a time not to pay back before.
What?
There are most things, but you can't make it tonight.
Yeah, The very beginning. It's in the first.
The end of days.
End of days. Yeah. Yeah. Shemi saying it was Yishalom.
And
Gimel.
And
Gimel.
And
Gimel. Yeah, end of Sif Gimel. Yeah, but how the Yachal Lulos on a Shar Shabashut? Yeah, we're talking about the Hainu de Halova Yachal Lefrolo Ema Shigirtse. Avel in Hister, so Yachal Piron, Achasa Yoker, Aser, puts up in Rash. And other Rishonim, there's Machlokas Rishonim, whether that condition of being able to pay on time exists by Yeshlet also. That's another important issue. Okay. Alright, so. We have four already. Rosh Halova, Makom Derech Lamava, Derech Lamava Sham, Achirim Chayavim Lo, and Having Mos. So now, what about banks? What about money in the bank? Does that work for a Heter of Yishlo? This is a Machlokas between Shalom and the Chalkas Binyamin, whether banks is considered your particular rishos. The Siva Shalom says that it is. He thinks that it's just like being able to, it's more like a pikadon, I guess he would look at it to be. You could go buy payros, you could withdraw money, and he says within this particular issue, ksas ner lahakel. The Chalkas Binyamin ends up saying that banks are not considered yishlo. He thinks that a bank, getting money from a bank.
So is Mishnah
Srivus. What?
So is Mishnah Srivus.
Oh, very good. So he's not alone. I'm sure there are. Mexico Bura. Very good. Okay. So, yeah. So the Chukas and Yaman ends up saying it's Kivu like he's getting repaid. So this would end up coming down with Yeshlo, according to the Siva Shalom, would be considered Yeshlo. According to the Chalkos Ben Yamin, it's not considered Yeshlo, and the reason is because it's like someone's repaying that particular Lova. It's like the Lova has an outstanding loan with the bank, because normally bank transactions are seen Malva and Lova, that the person who deposits money is a Malva to a bank, which is a Lova. So in this transaction, just because the Lova has money in the bank, it would be Malva to this particular Lova in question, and then his bank, Chase, whatever, is a Lova to him. Fine. The only time this really would come up would be foreign money. I mean, that's when really this would come up. You lend someone shekels in Israel, or sorry, somebody lends
dollars.
You American dollars in Israel, and can you pay back with dollars? Very good. Okay.
Wrong example.
I mean, if you have...
Everybody says American dollars.
Not anymore. Chalkos says no.
He changed it? Chalkos Binyamin, why?
Because shekels the...
Yeah, there's
shekel
this...
Shekel is stronger.
Yeah, he says the...
Well, this month, this week.
I mean, I know that he ends up quoting in here...
Have you been to Israel lately? They're more than happy to accept dollars. Prefer them to shekels. I don't think it changed much.
That's
fair.
Huh?
They take checks.
Big items,
dollars,
still.
Yeah. I mean, that was the Tshuva Ramosha. That Tshuva Ramosha also. And I mean, either way, that modern post can say that because it's the Torah's Ribbis, is the one I quoted in my notes. And I quoted Laws of Ribbis, Chapter 1, Note 29, to back me up. Okay, it's all there in the notes. This Taz, whether his Taz would agree by banks, whether banks would be considered Mos Biyado. So I think you could really just make an argument both ways for that. Really, maybe the Taz would say that money in the bank is it's not good enough. It's Kiwu, he still considers this to be a loan. Or really, no, it's money is money is money. The fact that he could take the money out of the ATM, whatever it is, that's enough to go rebuy goods. Maybe the Taz, you really make an argument either way. I don't think the Taz is really clear. I don't think the Taz inside is really clear, I guess. But putting it all together, fine. So we have five different points to lay out for the accessibility of Yeshlo, the Nesiva Shalom's approach to the nature of how Yesha works through the Sacred Rishus, so fine. How much time do I have? What?
Even if you want to.
Yeah?
Of course, the focus now is that it's a loan, right? You can't make between a bank and an individual. Private individual, maybe, you know, the fault will be bad, whatever it is. A bank, which is FDIC insured.
Meaning you think that the Chagos one would agree by a bank?
I think there's no chance that
they're not going to pay you back?
You can't access that money.
It
doesn't make a difference. He says still construes this as being a transaction between a malva and a lova. It's considered like it's not the other.
It's
just,
what's
as far as that a loan
is not considered usually?
Because it's not his. It's money that's owed to the other person.
Okay.
Meaning the issue is that it's like achinu chayav lo ashray b'masa. It's the same type. If anything, your case of a loan one to one, just individual is for sure. Maybe even people who would agree by banks might not even agree by that. I don't know. I think so. But okay. Fine. So either way. Fine. The next heter is yatsa shar. Okay. Interestingly, Yetzer Hashar is different than Yesho, in that Yesho is a very explicit proof. Yesho has a Mishnah, and in a Mishnah which is explicit in the Mishnah. However, the source for Yesho is actually not really explicit. Yetzer Hashar. Excuse me for that. The Gemara 9 days, the Mishnah 9 days, 7 days. A poskal pairs out Yetzer Hashar, fine Yetzer Hashar poskin. Later on, the Gemara is saying that you can lend even al smach the shar shabashuk, and it doesn't mean this is referring to a sabasa case. It just says you can lend ain post kanal peros that shatz shar. You can lend whenever there's a shar that's yotze, and Rashi on this Gemara ends up interpreting the hemshik of the Gemara ends up saying that this is referring to sabasa. He quotes from the Bahad. But it's not explicit that Sabasa has a specific heter of Yatza Ashar. It's not really so clear. And keeping this in the back burner, that Yatza Ashar is not as explicit as Yeshlo, there are two rationales, really, as to why Yatza Ashar works. One, which is already pointed out, that it works because it's like Yeshlo, in that it's Nisya'i Kibrushus Ha-Malva. What's going on? The person could end up buying this produce in the marketplace, and the fact that it can have that the fact that can take place, it's kind of like it's inside the lowest rishus, and then it becomes the siyakir rishus hamalva. Great, and that kind of fits very well that yatsa shar doesn't have its explicit proof because it's really a manifestation of yeshlo. It doesn't that kind of fit very well that the gemara doesn't expressly discuss Yatza Ashar, since it's not really anything different than Yesho. It's a prat within the idea of Yeshlo. Alright, what to consider. But I think the other explanation is based on one or two lines in the Nesiva Shalom, but the background comes in a machlokas between the Rush and the Rivet about whether having money is sufficient, whether you need to have Mos in order to create the heter of Yatza Ashar. Does particular Lovet need to have money in his pocket in order to have the heter of Yatza Ashar help him out? So the Ravid says that you need to have Mos. If you don't have Mos, if that person doesn't have money in his possession, it doesn't allow for this particular heter of Yatza Ashar. The Rush in the Ezu Neshek and Simon Samechei ends up saying that the rival would agree that even if the guy has just a little bit of money, but not the exact amount of money which was not the exact ratio, the amount of money that the original transaction of the produce were worth, that's still enough, just most of them, that's enough, just having a little bit of money. But the Rush ends up saying for himself that even not having the most is okay. And he ends up saying, I'd rather quote it inside and try and pretend like I know it offhand. Sorry for the delay. Yeah. Avu b'she'ein lo amos b'shas halva yochel hu likach peros b'ashray kema sh'yatza shar o yilava mechavera. Okay. So, interesting how he ends up saying that if you collect the b'ashray, even if it's through this credit, like a even if it's, or he could borrow from somebody else, that seems to point out that this isn't really like Yeshla. Meaning Yeshla, we've already seen that if you don't have it in your possession, if it's a hand with another low, it's not considered Rishus Halova in regards to this Hatzer of Yeshla. The Yatza Ashar, according to the Rosh, seems to be a little more lenient. You know, that even if the person could borrow money from somebody else in order to go buy the produce in the shuk, it's enough. So the Sefer Shalom points out this machlokas, and he ends up creating a new standard for how Yatza Ashar works, and he says that what's the heter of Yatza Ashar? It's this idea of Matzi Yazifle. As long as there's a way that the Mova could go out and buy that particular product, doesn't matter how, as long as he can, Matzi Yazifle, that's sufficient in order to create this heter of Yatza Ashar in any of these sub-assad transactions. It's not that the Lova, it's not another way for the Lova to make his produce go into the Mava's Rishus. It's something a little, it's downgraded, so to speak. There's a difference. And this distinction, the fact that Yeshlo, the fact that Yatzar Shar seems to be different than Yeshlo in this capacity is not just limited to this one situation. In fact, there are four situations where we find chiluk in between Yatzar Shar and Yeshlo. And I cannot believe in my own, I don't believe it to be true, that Yatzar Shar is just like Yeshlo, and that it's the exact same thing as Kilu Nisakir Bershuzo. And just one good example is this Ashray B'Masa case. Fine, it's machlokas between the Raivan and the Rash. Okay, so we see within here there's a distinction. But I think that Yediyah, that the original issue we're talking about, the knowledge of the Malvin and the Lova in this transaction is essential in order to figure out whether there's a real distinction between the two. So the Shach, consistently with how he is in Yeshlo, the Shach says that just having it is only, having Yediyah is not Ma'akid B'diyavid, it's only a Din L'Chadchila. Okay. So Shach is consistent. The Taz, however, that same Taz we were talking about, and I saw it this morning and I realized that this really helped me out a lot. The Taz is not consistent. The Taz says that Yediyah by Yatza Ashar is much more important. He supports this from the Rambam also. I'll read it inside. Says that the Ein Lahakshos Humashikos of Harambam Ubeis Yosef Umevio Bechach Perish Mustamach Siv Gimel Hayla Osa Min Shar Bashuk Miyadua Lishnan. He says, don't ask that by Yatzar Shar we see the Rambam and the Beis Yosef who brings from other people that really there's a necessity to have this Yadua Lishnan, when now the Taz is telling you that you don't need it Lichatchila or for Yeshlo. He says, what's the difference? Masha the Yadishnan Bina, why is this? Shiny Hassan, because by Yatza Ashar it's different. The Lo Shaykh Lomar Shiniknu Lo Lemalva. That idea of being Nikne Lemalva is not relevant by Yatza Ashar. Dasha Lachirim He. The issue that belongs to somebody else. Behind Ron Sher Shuk. It's never the Lova's property. What do you mean? How can this exist that it becomes the Lova's so that it becomes in the Malva's Rishus to be in the Sacred Rishus? So it's irrelevant. It's unimportant because the produce, the products that he's buying, are they don't belong to either one of the two people involved in this transaction. They're the people in the Shuk, the Anshei Ashuk. Therefore, the Yediyah element doesn't. It reflects the fact that they both need to know there's a way. This outside way that the produce could belong to the Malva, and if you look at it as being that once there's a Shar Bashuk, and everyone knows, both people in the parties, both members of this transaction know that there's a requirement to go, that there's an ability, I'm sorry, to go buy, that's enough to create this heter. It's like Matzi Yazifle. And the Taz is highlighting that important distinction. And I don't even think, I'm not fully convinced that the Shach would tell you, nah, the way we understand Yatza Ashar is Zakir Bershuso. The Shach could either argue that Yediyah is irrelevant for this issue, or the Shach would tell you that it is relevant, but it doesn't, that the fact that the person could go by in the Shuk has Matzi Yazifle is just, I mean, it's not that it's a Sacred Rosh Hashanah, it's just that, you know, you could play around with this. I can't think straight exactly. But either way, I'm not fully convinced that the Shach really believes that it has to be considered the Siyakar Burusha. So just the fact that it's Shita by Yediya might be irrelevant to this. But the Taz believes that it is. He makes a distinction. He is mechalik between these two halachos straight up. I don't know how exactly it fits, but he is. He believes that it's true. So I think this Taz, and at least the Nesiva Shalom with the Rush, really points out that there are clear distinctions between these two Eterim. I don't believe that it's the exact same thing. And even though the Ravid indicates that there's a requirement to have most, it might not be the exact corollary. It might not be an exact overlap. Okay. That's where we are. Okay. So where is this Gita Psik al Aperos? Okay. There are Psik al Aperos, four contracts in general, have the same heterim as they do in of Sabasa. Those transactions, these four contracts, do have similar heterim to Sabasa. But the heterim are not the exact, they don't have the same pratim. For example, by Sabasa, you could even consider the loba to have this particular min, it's enough, as long as he has ma'atmos on it. He doesn't have to have the full amount that was being exchanged one for one. But Psik al Aperos, however, there is a need for shir ma'osav. That's an important thing to keep in mind. The Taz and the Shach, in the beginning of Kuf Samach Gimel Beis, the Taz ends up pointing out why this is true. Why you don't need why shir ma'osav is required. Just to point out, parenthetically, Kuf Samach Gimel is not the source for Psik al Aperos. I didn't feel comfortable speaking so much about Psik al Aperos because I haven't learned all the relevant simanim. But either way, he says the way it works by Sabasa, that Sagi Afil Ma'at, Taz writes, the Hasam Anu Choshen Osa Tipa Kiluhu Nichletas Lemalve. Negat Tipa Shemalvelo Va'Acher Shalava Behatzer Tipa Yeshlo Shnei Tipos. What happens is that there's one particular commodity is exchanged to the other, and then keeps on, it's like one for one, it kind of just adds up, like you're taking one for the next pile, and that we don't need it to fully be, you don't have to fully transfer this entire amount as a whole from the loba to the malva. It's done, tipa keneged tipa. And the Be'er Heitiv explains what the difference is. It says, Avu Mechira, Eina Mechira Chala Ela Al Mashi Yeshlo. There needs to be a Chalos Kinyan on everything the person has, and if the person doesn't have the full amount, we can't allow this Kinyan to take place. So what does that all mean? Because Psik al Aperos, four contracts, are not to be construed as a Halva, like a case of Sabasa. Rather, it's an element of a Mechira. It has elements of loan, because the person's getting at a later time. At the end of the day, it's straight up a mechira, and that manifests itself in the fact that the person has to have the full amount in his possession. The mocher being the mocher in that particular case has to have the full amount. The Chelkos Binyan in the beginning of Kuf Samach Gimel has a long hafdamah where he points out to this distinction that Sabasa is a pure hava, and Psik al Aperos, these four contracts, are just a regular form of a mekku memkar, and one way that plays out is how much the mocher has to have in his possession in the case of Psik al Aperos. Does it have to have a full amount, yeshlo of shir ma'osav, or just a little bit ma'osav amin? That's true by Sabasa. Okay. Another issue is another distinction between the heterim of yeshlo in regards to Psik al Aperos and Sabasa is lo nigmar malachto. Let's say a person has a commodity, has this good in his rishus, but it's not the exact amount that's being transferred. Like, you have wheat, but you don't have bread. You're transferring bread, and you have wheat. So that's missing a couple steps in order for you to get bread. So is that considered yeshlo? So presumably, that might not be true by Sabasa, but it's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch that it's enough for Psik al Aperos. Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Ayin Hey Sif Dalet says, im hayel mocher mosa min avavisha dai lo nigmra malachto mutil if soka lea I kri ashir she yesh lo avavisha dai lo yatzashar. Okay, because yatzashar doesn't matter here. It can only be one step away, obeys, or two steps away. So there's a limitation. It has to be two. There's machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and the Gemara, and we paskin like Rav. That's what the Baragola just points it out. If you look at the Gemara inside, the Gemara there is found on Ayin Dal and on Aleph, it's machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. I think it's interesting that we paskin like Rav in regards to Hilchos Ribbis. I wasn't here for Rav Kalinsky's Chabura, but you could just add this to the list. The famous Chakira, what's the nature of the din of ribbis? Is it a Yoredea din? Is it a Choshe Mishpat din? So this would reflect that particular distinction. In fact, we pass on like Rav. In general, we pass on like Rav Yisur and Shmuel by Dinim. The fact that we pass on like Rav here would indicate it's more of a Yoredea din. I mean, it's more of a Simon than a Siva. I don't think it's the... But just something to keep in mind if you ever have another Mar Makam to add to that list. Okay. So we see by Psika Laperos, Lonely Mur Malachto, straight up, it's fine, two away, we still have that heter. What about by Sabasa? So, Visihuda, it's in Perik Yud Zion, and it's in footnote Lamed Beis, quotes the Sharadeya, who ends up saying that even if it's Einu Mechusar Ela Malacha Achas, it's only one step away, Lo Mikri Yeshlo in regards to Sabasa. That's he quotes it from Shardaya, yet he himself quotes based on the Meiri. Meiri says, in regards to being Malva Kikar Vikikar, that the reason why the Hetzer works is because the Kemech is Matsui. Veinu Mechaser Eloshtayim. That's the Meiri's explanation why you're allowed to lend Kikar Vikikar. Because it's very easy to lend bread for bread. You could just, most people have Kemech in their own Rishas. But it's only two ways, so it's like Yeshlo. So Mashma, the Beer Sehuder says, Shekol Shemikri Yeshlo Le'inyam Psika Mol Gaba Haba Sabasa Vim Kein Daf Mechusar Gimel Malachos Asar, and there is a limitation of Gimel Malachos. So the Beer Sehuder ends up saying that in this element, Psika is similar to Sabasa, and the Sharadeya presumably would not say this is true. Okay. Why? So now, I think that going back to our chart, this imaginary chart of how much Yeshlo, how good Yeshlo is. The best is if it's Rishus Halova. The worst is if it's Ashray B'Masa. I think the perfect middle case is this case of Lo Nigmar Malachto. Because, at the end of the day, it belongs to the Lova. The Lova has the materials in his possession, but it's not of the same genre that the Lova had from in this original transaction with him in the Malva. So this comes down to machlokas between the Bris Yehuda and the Shardeya. So perhaps this is better than Ashray B'Masa, I think. Ashray B'Masa is really just like a straight up account receivable. The guy doesn't have it in his possession. It's only an expected return. And on the balance sheet of this person's finances, it wouldn't be considered a live asset at this point. And that makes it worse for the element of Yeshlo. Lo Nigmar Malachto, I'm sorry, is better because it actually is sitting in this person's rishus. Presumably, the person can do it. So it might be a little bit better. There is a limit, however, to how far it can be that would play out. The Sharadeya, however, the argument would end up being within this particular Nakuda, the Sharadeya would end up saying it's not good because it's not the actual product that was given. And the Bris Yehuda would argue that, true, but the standard doesn't have to be held that high. But either way, I think that, give me a second here. I think the distinction between Mechira, for why it's so easy to assume that Lo Nimarachta works as opposed to Sabasa, is because this Mechira element of Psika Laperos we were coming up with before. What's going on? The person is being makne to the other party what he has in his rishus. So vis-a-vis, let's say, Hekdish, the person has this product and can be makdish it and be makne to somebody else as is. By Psika Laperos, that's all that matters to us. As long as the person has it within his own possession to be makne to the other person, that's enough. If he has the Shir Ma'osav and can be Makna, at the time when the contract is set to be, that's enough. By Sabasa, although it is, there's a Kilin Nisyakir Bershusa, that it's ki'ilu, that we consider this to be true, the argument can be made, well, we aren't going to make that automatic transaction right now if it's not what the commodity was supposed to be. By psikal apiros, it's the contract worked itself out that the person is going to give them that product when they want it to be. And that time difference ends up, could end up making a difference between sabasa and psikal apiros. That sabasa, we consider it in the sacred versus malva almost at the moment that the loan transaction takes place. It's almost like an automatic switch of possession. Mashain came, a psikal apiros contract, it doesn't belong, the property isn't switching, we're just allowing it to take place at a later date, when the as long as the person has now the full amount of that product. I'm not sure if this is correct, but I do think it's striking that by Ligma Merlachta, Lo and Ligma Merlachta, there's a difference between Psikala Paras and Sabasa, at least in regards to the Sharadeus approach. Maybe this relates to the way that we perceive Sabasa, being that it's Kilo Sakra Bershusa Malvet, right at this moment, unlike Psikala Peros, where the good will be transferred at a later date when it's in the full amount, and that would end up allowing this to work as long as the moker could produce it eventually within 2 degrees. Obviously, I'm not fully convinced of this. I just it's striking that there are differences between Lo and Merlachta in this one particular instance. Maybe it reflects the nature of the Tudini, maybe it doesn't. But for sure, the one biggest difference that we see from the Berhetiv and the Taz about Yeshlo, whether the full amount is needed or whether Shema Osim is needed, could reflect. Another interesting, the differences between Yeshlo and Yatzah Shar in regards to Sabasa themselves. I just think that the Haterim, just the overall takeaway, the Haterim are similar, there are differences. I would be hard pressed to suggest that a Yeshlo is exactly like Yatzah Shar in regards to Sabasa, and I think that's very clear. By Psikal Apiros, I'm not fully convinced why Lo and Ligma Merlachta is different than Sabasa, but there you go. That's it.
Two things.